You have your Bibles, turn with me please to our text this morning, John chapter 8 and verses 1 through 11. As we continue in our series, Images Everything, John chapter 8, starting at verse 1. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn he appeared again in the temple courts where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "If any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard it began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left, with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin." Let's pray. Lord, we're living in a world and in a nation and in a culture that is glorifying evil, LGBTQ, and all kinds of perversion. I pray you just teach us this morning, what are we as Christians, what are we as the church supposed to do about it? Pray you come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit and open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Last Sunday, June the 5th, was Pentecost Sunday, when 2,000 years ago, the Holy Spirit fell on the disciples in Jerusalem and started the early church. But this year, Pentecost also fell on the first Sunday of LGBTQ Pride Month. So Hope Methodist Church in Bloomington, Illinois, Pastor Isaac Simmons, the very first gay drag queen ever ordained as a Methodist minister, dressed up like Miss Pentecost, get it, Pentecost, and preached and danced with a bunch of other drag queens at an outdoor service there. And why did he do that? This is what he said. "God is nothing, Jesus is nothing, the Bible is nothing, unless we shape them into something. God is just the source of queerness, so we have to be queer to make her come alive." Folks, a pastor said that. That whirring sound you hear is John Wesley spinning in his grave. God help us, people. Things aren't just going to hell in a handbasket because of what the LGBTQ activists are doing. Things are also going to hell in a handbasket because what the Church of Jesus Christ is not doing. And what should the church be doing about LGBTQ? The text we have in front of us this morning answers that question. We're in a series at Fox River right now, a series called Image is Everything. Look at how people are created in the image of God and countering all the lies that the trans activists are claiming today. So far in this series, we've looked at what transgenderism and LGBTQ are really all about. And today we look at what the church is supposed to do about LGBTQ. And to see that, we turn today to John chapter 8 and verses 1 through 11. In this part of John chapter 8, Jesus is dealing with a woman who was caught in the act of adultery. And in our text today, Jesus leads that woman out of that sin and into a brand new life. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today, the church needs to do exactly the same thing with LGBTQ people. Our text this morning, John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11, tells us three things that we need to do to be the church that we should be with LGBTQ. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing the church needs to do about LGBTQ, we need to stand up for the truth. And that's exactly what Jesus does here in verses 1 to 6. Now one day while Jesus is teaching in the temple courts in Jerusalem, the Pharisees and teachers of the law bring him a woman who had gone to a pride parade, wasn't wearing masks for monkeypox, and who just got caught knocking boots with some guy she wasn't married to. So verse 5, the Pharisees say, according to the law of Moses, this woman ought to be stoned for adultery. But Jesus, what do you say? But verse 6 says, they were just using this to try to trip him up and to try to get at him. So what does Jesus say? He says nothing. He says nothing. So this isn't about the woman's sin at all. What it was really about is how Jesus was supposed to respond to it. Just like it's about how the church is supposed to respond to LGBTQ. Now, if Jesus said, don't stone her, he'd have been violating Jewish law that called for the death penalty for anybody who was guilty of adultery. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 10. But if Jesus said, rock on, he'd have been violating Roman law because the Romans would take away the Jewish right to practice capital punishment for religious reasons. So Jesus is damned if he does, damned if he doesn't. So Jesus says, well, who am I to judge? You right-wing, radical, Bible-thumping, homophobic, transphobic, adultery phobes? This is Pride Month, for crying out loud. And that woman was born that way, with the adultery gene. So she's just living out her authentic truth. Her truth is her truth, your truth is your truth, so hey, celebrate diversity. No, Jesus didn't say that. In fact, Jesus said absolutely nothing. And the silence spoke volumes. Jesus never once said that what that woman did was right. Jesus stood up for the truth, and he never caved. But the problem is today, with LGBTQ, the church is caving right and left. Today there's even wide open gay and trans churches, for crying out loud, for the so-called queerly beloved. And they're called affirming and welcoming. And people say, well, Kevin, people ought to feel welcome coming to church. Yeah, but when they use the word welcome, they're implying that their sin is welcome in the church too. And they've even got their own version of the Bible, the Queen James Version, instead of the King James Version. That scrubs all references to homosexuality. And just out for Pride Month is the queer hymnal, Songs for the Holy Other, that take all the traditional hymns and change the words to make God out to be a queer. Here's some of the songs. A hymn of self-acceptance. God of queer, transgressive spaces. The kingdom of God is the queerest of nations. There's some songs you want to add to your playlist. And they make Jesus out to be gay and trans too. See the Sunday school material they have for kids? Jesus with a beard and the body of a woman? Sarah Towne, United Church of Christ, says this. God is the strange one, fabulous one, fluid and ever-becoming queer God who created us queer and non-conforming, just like Himself. People, look at me. It really is this bad in the church today. Talk about creating God in your own image. Candace Clark, Duke Divinity School, said this, all progressive theologians today and top university scholars agree that Jesus was definitely gay and transgender. And us LGBTQ people want God so much, He has to be just like us. And our cause will be justified because God can't ignore all the protests and marches all over the world today. People, listen to me. I don't care how many heretics with worthless degrees from seminaries of unbelief you want to trot out. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, men who act like women and homosexuals and LGBTQ will not, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So LGBTQ is not a gift from God. It is a sin against God. You really want God. You don't celebrate your sin. You confess it and you put it under the blood of Jesus. And do you honestly think that God is going to change His mind because some pagans are marching around waving flags? The church has caved. Evangelical Christians have caved. Christian author Jen Hatmaker now says that gay marriage is a holy union blessed by God. Bible teacher Beth Moore has now taken out of all of her books and writings everything negative about homosexuality. Eugene Peterson, who wrote the Message Bible, now says homosexuality is as right as rain. Christian singer Lauren Daigle, when asked by Rolling Stone magazine if she thought homosexuality was a sin, said this, I don't know. I can't say one way or the other. I'm not God. Well, you know what? I'm not God either. But I know from God's Word, Romans 1, 26 and 27, homosexuality is definitely a sin. Longtime Christian publisher Erdmans is now recommending 6 pro-LGBTQ books that you should read for Pride Month. Why? The last bastion for truth in America is the Church of Jesus Christ. So if Christians don't speak up, who is going to? But the church today is caved. Or haven't you noticed all the little pride flag emojis that all your Christian friends have on their Facebook pages now? And why are Christians today so spineless? I'll tell you why. Because their fear of man is a lot stronger than their fear of God. And Christians today are claiming that they're bi because it's cool. Because instead of following Christ, they want people to like and follow them. Pastors won't preach about LGBTQ because it doesn't put butts in the seats. All kinds of churches all over this area that a lot of people are going to, you never hear one single word about LGBTQ because it's all about the love of God, nothing about the holiness of God. And they don't realize by not saying anything, not talking about LGBTQ is this close, one step away from accepting it and approving it. I get letters all the time. Kevin, you can't talk about LGBTQ. All you need to do is love Jesus. We just need to love Jesus. Yes, we love Jesus here at Fox River too. But we also talk about biblical frontline issues that Christians have to deal with every single day. Kevin, you can't say that LGBTQ is a sin because that's not going to bring people together. God didn't put me here to bring people together. God put me here to call people to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ for the salvation of their souls. So for crying out loud, preach the word from the heart, no compromise, no apologies, and stand up for the truth of the word. Christians don't stand up for truth because they don't want to pay the price. Like we do. Got this email a couple of weeks ago. This is one that I can read in church. Pastor Garner, I am so sick and tired of hearing your hateful diatribes against gay and trans people. You have no idea who we really are, and you are so full of hate, you couldn't speak the truth if you tried. Did some gay people run over your dog or something? I hope you get cancer and die, and maybe that'll shut you up. And that's pretty typical. I've been in ministry for 41 years, going on 29 years here at Fox River. I've had sermons on radio and internet for over 25 years, and I have never once drank the rainbow Kool-Aid. I have never once caved on LGBTQ. But it's cost me. It cost me all kinds of hate from the alphabet mafia and the activists who called me everything but a white man. Cost me the opportunity to serve in bigger churches. It's cost me speaking opportunities that could have given me a bigger ministry on a bigger scale. It's hurt my relationship with other pastors around here who will not speak on LGBTQ because they don't want anybody mad at them. Welcome to my world. It's cost Sue. Standing for truth about LGBTQ has cost my wife Sue. It cost her awards in college. It cost her professional standing and promotions. It cost her more counseling clients and a bigger counseling practice. It cost her an office. A church in Ottawa offered an office in the basement of that church because they said they wanted a Christian counselor on site. 2 years later, she finds a note taped to the door of her office. She has to be out in 2 weeks. And all the pastors and all the elders combined in that church weren't man enough to tell her face to face why. I know why. Count the cost. It's cost this church. People writing nasty letters trying to get sermons taken off the radio stations. People calling Linda, telling her how hateful I am and how nobody in their right mind would ever come to Fox River. People call this building asking if gay people are allowed to attend our services. Yeah, like we got a big gaydar out there, and if a gay person comes to the front door, the sidewalk opens up and slides them down into a pit of alligators. Are you crazy? Of course gay people are allowed to come to this church. But that's the knock on Fox River. They're too political. Too homophobic. They're transphobic. They're hateful. All kinds of people in this area can't stand this place and would love for us to go up in flames. So all you new people who are thinking about becoming members next Sunday, who put your application forms in, welcome home. But you better know it going in. Because till hell freezes over and Jesus Christ comes back, we are not going to compromise one single thing that the Bible says about LGBTQ, not one thing about anything. So help us God. And you know why? Because what we have to do for Jesus is peanuts compared to what He had to do for us. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, was handed over to be crucified. And they mocked Him. And they spit on Him. And they punched Him. And they beat Him. And they pressed a crown of thorns on top of His head. Then they horsewhipped him to within an inch of his life. And then when he was almost dead already, they forced him to carry a cross outside to a top of a hill called Calvary. And they pounded 9-inch spikes through his hands and his feet and crucified him until he died of asphyxiation. The most painful, most horrific form of execution known to mankind. And he did that for us. So you know what, folks? If Jesus Christ put up with that for us, we can put up with that for him. If Jesus Christ had to go through that for us, we can go through that for him. If Jesus Christ suffered all that for us, we can suffer all that for him. Jesus said, they hate me, they're going to hate you. They call me a demon, they're going to call you worse. Jesus said, all day long I hold out my hands to a stubborn and stiff-necked people who will not turn from their sin. Christians, we do exactly the same thing. And you know why? Because there's something far more important than our standing before man. And that's our standing before God and hearing, well done, good and faithful servant. You stayed faithful to the truth. The first thing the church needs to do with LGBTQ, we need to stand up for the truth. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing the church needs to do with LGBTQ. We not only need to stand up for the truth, we also need to reach out in love. And that's exactly what Jesus does with this woman here in verses 6 and 7. Because she is absolutely devastated and humiliated. And she is scared to death that she's going to die. And even if she doesn't die, her husband could divorce her. All of her friends and family members could shun her and throw her under the bus. Jews who committed adultery weren't even given a Jewish burial. And because it takes two to tango, where was the guy that she hooked up with? Because he should have been there too, facing the exact same firing squad. It wasn't fair. And because Jesus isn't playing the Pharisees' game, verse 7, he says, okay, this woman's as guilty as all get out. But let him here who is without sin be the first one to throw a rock. He's reaching out to this woman. He's extending her love. He is helping her. And the problem is, all kinds of people today think they're helping LGBTQ people by defending what they do. They're not helping them. They're hurting them. Do you have any idea what puberty blockers do to the bodies of 12 and 13-year-old kids? They cause dangerously high blood pressure, blood clots, strokes, heart attacks, chemical castration, loss of fertility for the rest of their lives. Here's the most common medical problems suffered by homosexuals in America. Incontinence, ulcers, prostate damage, genital warts, anal cancer, urination and defecation problems. Gay people have 14 times the amount of STDs that straight people have and live on average 15 to 20 years less than straight people do because the human body was not designed by God for gay sex. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, God says, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. You destroy that temple, God will destroy you. Amen. So all you people listening to this sermon right now, just like NBA star Steph Curry, who thinks he's a Christian and thinks he's doing the Lord's work by cheerleading for LGBTQ rights, you're not helping these people. You are helping to destroy them. Gay activists use the Queen James Bible to twist what the real Bible says about LGBTQ. The Queen James says that Genesis chapter 1 verse 27, in the image of God He created them, male and female, and every variety in between. That phrase is not there in the original Hebrew. Deuteronomy 22:5, a man should not wear women's clothes and a woman should not wear men's clothes because it's unnatural. But it's not a sin and totally natural for men who think they're women and women who think they're men. That last sentence is not in the original Hebrew. Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22, a man shall not lie with a man like he does with a woman. But in the Queen James Bible it says this, a man shall not lie with a man like he does with a woman in the temple of an idol. So all the laws against homosexuality are reinterpreted to say that what's really forbidden is gay sex as part of idol worship. What in the world are they talking about? Folks, the Bible is not a bag of trail mix that you can just take out or leave in the bits that you do or don't like. Where in the world do they think they get the authority to change the Word of God? Revelation chapter 22 verse 18, a curse on anybody who changes one iota of anything that is written in this book. You are not helping them. You say, but Kevin, there really are gay and trans Christians. No, there isn't. 1 John chapter 3, verse 6 says, anyone who continues to sin openly with no qualms at all is not a Christian. They're not really saved, no matter what the sin is. Now, can people struggle with gay and trans desires and still be a Christian? Absolutely. We all struggle with things as Christians. But being gay and trans, loud and proud, no remorse, no repentance whatsoever. 1 John chapter 3, verse 6, you do not know Christ and you are not in Christ. They're not saved. You say, but Kevin, that's hate. No, it's not. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Transgenders, homosexuals, LGBTQ people will not inherit the kingdom of God. And folks, if that's true, and it is, it's not hate to tell somebody that. It's nothing but hate to not tell them that. Last Tuesday, May the 24th, a 25-year-old woman named Megan Miranda from Grove City, Ohio, was gored, tossed in the air, and killed by a 2,000-pound female buffalo at Yellowstone National Park. Park rangers tell people to stay at least 75 feet away from buffalo because buffalo kill more people than anything else at Yellowstone. This woman was within 10 feet trying to take a picture. And she's dead. Now, do park rangers tell people to stay away from buffalo because they hate people? Of course not. Does God hate people by telling them to stay away from LGBTQ? Otherwise it's going to cost them their soul? Of course not. He does it because He loves them and wants them to be saved. So young people especially, all you young Billie Eilishes out there who stump for LGBTQ people and their so-called rights all the time, I'm trying to get these people to heaven. You're helping the devil send them to hell. You are not helping them. And I know somebody's thinking, but Kevin, Jesus says here, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. And because we're all sinners, that means none of us has the right to judge anybody when it comes to anything. That's not what the Bible says. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. If there's one verse in the Bible that everybody knows today, it's Matthew 7, 1. Judge not lest ye be judged. But notice, Jesus goes on there and says what that means. Don't point out the splinter in your brother's eye while you got a big old log stuck in your own eye. Like the 500-pound preacher telling people not to smoke because their body's a temple of the Holy Spirit. How about getting that little Debbie chocolate log out of your mouth before you point out a cigarette in somebody else's mouth? So Jesus is not saying here, don't judge. What Jesus is saying is don't be a hypocrite. You can't judge people for the same sin that you're committing and that you're guilty of yourself. And that's exactly what's going on here. These Pharisees and teachers of the law rightly judged that this woman was guilty of adultery. But notice, not one of them ever picked up a rock. And you know why? Because deep down inside, they knew that they were guilty of the exact same sin as that woman, adultery. So even if they hadn't actually physically committed it down here, they sure enough committed it mentally up here with the lust. You say, but Kevin, heterosexuals sin too? Absolutely they do. Or didn't you hear about the Johnny Depp Amber Heard trial? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10 lists all kinds of sins that heterosexual people do. Song sins that will send us to hell if we don't repent of them as well. Christian sin. Josh Duggar, of the 19 and counting Duggars, just sentenced to 12 years in prison for possession of child porn. 4 out of every 10 pastors in this country will cheat on their spouse at some time during their ministry. 70% of the men and 30% of the women in the church today, Christians, addicted to porn. Try living with me for a week, like my wife Sue. The center line forms right here behind Kevin Garner. But the difference is, we don't deny our sin and celebrate it. We admit it and turn it over to Jesus Christ. Are we reaching out in love and telling LGBTQ people that? Speaking the truth in love? We're supposed to be reaching out in love. Christians, let me ask you this morning. Do we love LGBTQ people? Luke chapter 15, verse 2 says Jesus was a friend of sinners and even took time to hang out with them. Christians, can we say that about us and LGBTQ people? Or do we just want to preach at and then treat them like they got cooties and like being gay is something contagious? Because as much as we may disagree with their lifestyle and as unloving as they may be at times, Jesus loves us even when we're unlovable. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, we love because He first loved us. Are we doing that? So LGBTQ people are not the real enemy. The real enemy is the devil who's fed them the lies that they're believing. They're not the enemy. They're the mission field. And how do we reach them? With the love of Christ. There are people coming to this church right now who have same-sex attraction. You don't know who they are, but I do. And you know why they come to Fox River? Because they want to hear the truth and because they know that they're loved here. And what happens when we Christians don't love like we should? Last December the 7th, little 12-year-old Eli Fritchley, Washington, D.C., who was so messed up he thought he was gay, committed suicide when some other boys who thought they were Christians told him he was going to go to hell because he was gay. Folks, homosexuality does not automatically send you to hell, just like heterosexuality does not automatically send you to heaven. And when LGBTQ people are being picked on and harassed and persecuted, us Christians need to be the first ones to get in there and stand up for them and stick up for them like Jesus sticks up for the sinner woman. Reach out in love. Christians, one of the ways we can reach out in love is by taking back the rainbow. Genesis chapter 9, verses 11 to 16, right after God judged and destroyed the whole wide world with a flood except for Noah and his family, He put a rainbow in the sky as a promise that He would never destroy the earth again by water. So the rainbow, as God originally gave it, is a sign of God's judgment on sin and God's mercy to spare us from judgment when we turn to Him in repentance and faith. Rainbows happen right after it rains because, as Sir Isaac Newton found, the drops of water in the air act like prisms that separate light into the seven basic colors. Roy G. Biv, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. And the Bible tells us every single one of those colors represents something about God. Red, the blood of Jesus. Orange, the purifying fire of God. Yellow, the glory of God. Green, God's salvation. Blue, God's holiness. Indigo, God's connection with man. Violet, God's kingdom. So when you see the rainbow, it's a sign of God's salvation from death and destruction. But back in 1974, a radically gay drag queen and pedophile named Gilbert Baker invented what he called the Pride Banner, a flag to represent the entire LGBT community, using the colors of the rainbow because he said the rainbow colors represented people of all colors, all sexual orientations, coming together and becoming one. And his pride flag had 10 stripes on it originally. And it got reduced to 8. Then they took out tangerine and turquoise and pink and replaced it with blue. So the pride flag today only has 6 stripes on it. And over the years, that pride flag has gotten so popular. You see it all over the world today. It's become a universal symbol of LGBTQ. And here's what LGBTQ community says the colors on the pride flag, the rainbow flag, mean. Red stands for life, orange for healing, yellow for sunlight, green for nature, blue for art, violet man's spirit. Notice nothing, absolutely nothing about God. Talk about trashing God's original rainbow. And folks, because of that, every single thing about that flag is a slam against the Lord. The pride flag originally had 10 stripes. 10 in the Bible is the number of God's judgment. God's rainbow has 7 stripes. The pride flag has 6 stripes. 7 is the number of God and stands for perfection and completion. 6 is the number of man and stands for counterfeit or imitation and falling short. So folks, the pride flag is just the devil's cheap imitation of God's rainbow. And notice the pride flag does not have the color indigo in it. In the Bible, indigo, from the descriptions of the tabernacle and the temple, represents the connection between heaven and earth, between God and man. In other words, indigo represents Jesus Christ. So the reason the color indigo is not in the pride flag is because too many LGBTQ people don't want anything to do with Jesus Christ. And worst of all, it's called the pride flag. Pride. Pride was the sin that got the devil kicked out of heaven. Pride is the source of every other sin that there is. Psalm chapter 10, verse 4, the proud in heart do not seek God. So the rainbow flag is a symbol to the LGBT community that they can blow off God, do whatever the heck they want, and to hell with the consequences. God's rainbow, the rainbow flag. This is of God, this is of man. This is about turning to God. This represents rebelling against God. That leads to freedom. That leads to slavery. This leads to life. That leads to death. Because remember what God said about the rainbow in Genesis chapter 9? That rainbow is not a promise that God is never going to destroy the world again. It's a promise that God is never going to destroy the world again with water. Because 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 10 says that God is going to destroy this earth again, second time by fire. Just like He used fire to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah and the LGBT community there. And what does the Bible say was the number one sin in Sodom and Gomorrah that caused all that perversion to start with? Ezekiel chapter 16 verse 49, P-R-I-D-E. And what do we see everywhere today with LGBTQ? Pride. The pride banner, the pride flag, pride month, LGBTQ pride, pride parades. People, do we see it? Do we see why this matters? Do we see why we Christians care about this? Do we see what's going to happen to the LGBT community all over the world? Do you see why we reach out to them and warn them and beg them to turn to Christ before judgment falls and it's too late? Isaiah chapter 2 verse 12, God has set a day of judgment when all who are proud and exalt themselves will be humbled and the wicked shall be destroyed. Knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. For the 10 billionth time, it's not about hate. And here's the good news. Even though that judgment has already started, the colors of the rainbow and that rainbow flag, as distorted and perverted and misinterpreted as they are, is still a sign that God will save anybody in the LGBT community who is willing to turn to Him in repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. So Christians, God called. He wants His rainbow back. Take back the rainbow. Make the rainbow great again. Because that rainbow belongs to God and not man. And it's about grace and not sin. And it leads to life and not death. And not just for us, but all the people in the LGBT community who desperately, desperately need to be saved. The second thing the church needs to do with LGBTQ, we've got to reach out in love. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing the church needs to do about LGBTQ. We not only need to stand up for truth, we not only need to reach out in love, but third, we need to lead people to freedom in Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what Jesus does with this woman here in verses 8 through 11. Verses 8 and 9, the Pharisees and teachers of the law start slinking away with their tails between their legs until the only ones left there are Jesus and that woman all by their lonesome. And notice verse 10, in spite of that woman's sin, Jesus doesn't say, you scumbag, you lowlife. In the Greek, He uses a term of incredible respect for a woman like ma'am or miss. Where are your accusers? And the woman goes, they're nowhere. And you know why? Because that woman's sin was gone. Jesus knows what's in a person's heart. Jesus knew that that woman had already repented in her heart. And He had already taken her sin on Himself, just like He takes all of our sin on Himself too. Amen. And there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So Jesus says, verse 11, to this woman, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. What Jesus did for her is far better than a butt lift, a tummy tuck, an Estee Lauder facial, and a Super Goop makeover all rolled into one. That woman is forgiven and free to serve Jesus Christ. And folks, we got to realize, Jesus does exactly the same thing with LGBTQ people all the time. Stephen Black, sexually molested by a neighbor man when he was 5 years old. So he grew up believing the lie of the devil that that molestation meant that he was gay. drinking and partying, acting out all the way through college till one night a friend invited him to a Bible study. And the Christian leader at that Bible study looked at Stephen Black and said, "Are you going to heaven or hell?" And at that second, the Spirit of God spoke to his heart and said, "You don't get saved tonight, you're going to die." So Stephen Black gave his heart to Jesus Christ and got saved. And for the next 2 years, Christian friends helped him fight off some lingering same-sex attraction. Till 2 years later, the Lord completely took it all away. 1994, he married his wife. Today, he is the director of First Stone Ministries, helping other LGBTQ people find faith and freedom in Jesus Christ. Kathy Grace Duncan grew up in Portland, Oregon with an abusive dad and a beat up mom. So she decided early on she was not going to be a woman when she grew up. So when she was 18 years old, she started taking testosterone and had a double mastectomy and started living life as a man named Keith. And even led ministries in a big church in Vancouver, Washington. Until one day, the college pastor at that church and one of her best friends in that church confronted her. And she admitted that she was really a woman trying to live like a man. And the Spirit of God got all over her and started to change her heart and her mind. And women in that church, older women, loved her and showed her how to dress and act like the woman of God she really is. And today she leads all women's ministries in that church, set free by the power of Jesus Christ. Beckett Scott was sexually molested by one of his friend's dads when he was 10 years old. Again, grew up believing the lie that that meant he was gay. Eventually moved to Los Angeles, Hollywood artist, even won Tony Awards for the sets that he designed for TV shows. But one day in a coffee shop in Los Angeles in 2009, some Christians very lovingly told him homosexuality is really a sin, and they invited him to a church, and he went to that church and got radically saved. Today, Beckett Scott is a born-again, ordained pastor, travels all over the world helping LGBTQ people come out of the LGBTQ lifestyle and find freedom in Christ. Now, the left doesn't want you to know that people like that even exist. But folks, I can go on with the gazillions and gazillions of examples of former LGBTQ people who are now living brand new lives in Jesus Christ. And why? Not because somebody affirmed their lifestyle, not because somebody told them to celebrate diversity, but because somewhere along the line, a Christian loved them enough to tell them the truth and point them to Jesus and walk right next to them until He totally set them free. That is what the church needs to do with LGBTQ people. But Christians, we're going to do that. We better hurry. Because we have no idea how late it really is for this country. We set aside one stinking day to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Now we set aside one whole month to celebrate sexual perversion. If that doesn't tell you where America is right now in 2022, I don't know what does. Romans chapter 1 tells us that when a nation finally decides that knowing God is not worth it, God will send four stages of judgment on that country. Each stage worse than the one before. And we've seen that in America. Stage 1, Romans chapter 1, verses 21 to 23. Liberalism in the 1950s when America seriously started turning away from God. Stage 2, Romans chapter 1, verses 24 and 25. The sexual revolution in the 1960s and the 1970s. Stage 3, Romans chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, the homosexual revolution, starting in the 1980s up till now. Stage 4, Romans chapter 1, verse 28, when God turns people over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. Deuteronomy chapter 28, 24 says, in the last days when God judges the nation, you will see crazy things, things that your eyes will not believe, like men trying to become women. And women trying to become men. The final stage 4. Final terminal stage 4 of God's judgment on a nation is the transgender revolution. And all you need to see it is take a look around you. 7 years after the Supreme Court legalized gay marriage, the L, the G, and the B have become boring and passé. So all the energy in the room right now, all the excitement is with drag and transgenderism. And it's everywhere. And you know how it's being marketed and pushed? Family friendly. All over America right now, we see all kinds of family friendly gay and trans Drag events, family-friendly festivals, family-friendly drag shows, family-friendly happy hours, brunches, lunches, dinners, family-friendly drag parades, family-friendly drag dances, family-friendly drag bowling, family-friendly drag father and son look-alike contest. All across the United States. The Pride Festival in Ottawa. How was that promoted? Family-friendly. And one person who went to that Pride Festival in Ottawa said this in the Ottawa paper. It's about building up support and awareness, especially among the young people. Bingo. Why is it marketed as family friendly? Who's being targeted? It's kids. It's children. And we see that today all over America. Drag queen story hours for kids. Drag queen day camps and summer camps for kids. Drag workshops for kids. Drag races for kids. Drag competitions for kids. Kids makeup tutorials. Drag costume fairs for kids. Drag fashion shows for kids. Drag pet parades. Drag bouncy houses for kids. Bring your drag kid to work day. We see it over and over again. And why is all of this happening? Also, a tiny minority of very sick adults in this country can feel good about themselves and raise up a whole generation of kids who will finally vote away all Judeo-Christian values once and for all. Folks, when the last people that you've got to brainwash are 4, 5, and 6-year-olds, you know that your nation is not long for this world. And why does this matter so much? Because LGBTQ is the only sin in the entire Bible that God personally came down out of heaven to this earth to put a stop to. Because it is a sin against the way God created you and the way God designed you to operate. So it's a sin against God's creation mandate to be fruitful and multiply. It is a sin against God's very order for civilization. People look at that. Grown men dressed up like women, dancing and twerking and simulating masturbation in front of kids. My God! How in the world did something like that ever become considered normal and family friendly? How in the world did something like that ever become a thing? You talk about demonic deception in the days of Lot, you're looking at it. So Christians, what do we need to do about it? Just like what Jesus does with this woman caught in the act of adultery. One hand up and one hand out. Standing for truth, but extending grace. LGBTQ is wrong. How can I help you? Gay and trans is wrong. Let me show you something better. Turn to Jesus Christ and He will set you free. Just like we turn to Jesus Christ and set us free. Because more important than anything else, LGBTQ people need Jesus just as much as we do. Amen. Last Tuesday, May the 24th, Uvalde, Texas, 11:30 a.m., a demonic 18-year-old named Salvador Ramos walked through the back door of Robb Elementary School with two AR-15s and over 1,600 rounds of ammunition. Salvador Ramos had gone to that exact same school years before and been bullied and picked on mercilessly because he stuttered. And he was so antisocial he would kill cats and carry them around in plastic bags to freak people out. And he threatened to kill any girl that always refused to go out with him. Demonic to the core. And when school video picked up a shooter inside the building, all the teachers were notified instantly, "Lock your doors ASAP." So fourth grade teacher Irma Garcia yelled at her kids to hide and she ran to the classroom door. But Salvador Ramos was already there and backed her into that classroom at gunpoint and said goodnight and shot her in the head and killed her right in front of her students. And he started spraying those little kids with bullets. But then one of those students, little 10-year-old Amore Legarza, got on her cell phone trying to call for help from the outside. Salvador Ramos walked up to her, shot her in the head and killed her too. Then he went into the adjoining fourth grade classroom, killed teacher Eva Morales, and started killing the students in that classroom too, walking up to each one of them individually and then taunting them and then blowing them away. And he started playing this really loud, creepy song on his phone, a song called "Everybody's Going to Die" by Church of the Cosmic Skull. People, can you imagine? Can you imagine the hell that those little fourth grade kids were going through? And what was even more maddening, all the while this was going on, 19 police officers were standing in the hallway just outside those rooms. and never went in to take out the shooter or to grab the wounded and rush him to a hospital. An hour and 16 minutes passed by before the police ever went inside those rooms. Those kids had no help at all. But when Salvador Ramos went to that other classroom, little 11-year-old Maya Cirilla, who never got shot because she was hiding under a stack of book bags, found her teacher's phone and started calling 911, "Please come and help us. Please come and help us. We're in trouble." But then she heard Salvador Ramos coming back to her classroom. And she was so afraid that he was going to come back and finish off anybody who wasn't dead, which is exactly what he was going to do. She laid down on the floor next to the dead body of 10-year-old Amari Legarza. And with her hands, she took the blood that was still coming out of that dead girl's body and smeared and wiped that blood all over her. So when Salvador Ramos came back into the room, he would see the blood and think that she was dead. Can you imagine? Can you imagine doing that as an 11-year-old kid? But it worked, because when Salvador Ramos came back into that classroom, he did see the blood smeared all over Maya Cirilla. And he did think that she was dead, and he didn't shoot her. Saved by the blood of somebody who shed their blood trying to save her. And finally, a Border Patrol agent rushed past the police, got into that classroom, shot and killed Salvador Ramos, but not before he had killed two teachers and 19 students. Some of those little kids so badly shot to pieces, they had to use DNA records to identify them. The worst school shooting in America since Sandy Hook Elementary School in Connecticut almost 10 years before. And to this day, 26 days later, Maya Cirillo hasn't slept and hasn't eaten one thing. You talk about terrifying. But you know what, folks, is even more terrifying than that? God's judgment on sin. The Bible says every single one of us is a sinner, hopelessly and helplessly lost in the face of a just and a holy God and deserving absolutely nothing but hell. And because of that sin, every single one of us has a death penalty hanging over our heads, which is more than deserved. God's got us dead to rights. Ezekiel 18, verse 20, the soul that sins, it shall die. Everybody is going to die. And the devil stalks us and he taunts us. And people, there ain't no policeman or Border Patrol agent going to rush in and get us out of this mess either. But the good news is, somebody else already has. Because 2,000 years ago, God loved us so much in spite of our sin, He sent Jesus Christ to this earth to die on a cross and shed His blood to pay the price for our sin and to die the death that we should have died. So if you confess your sins to God, you put your faith in the blood that Jesus shed on the cross to take your sins away, and you ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and be your Savior, God the Father will take the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, and He will take that blood and smear it all over you and wipe it all over you and cover you with it and apply it to your heart and to your life. So when the angel of death comes, he will see that blood and pass over you, and you will be spared from judgment too. The blood of somebody very precious, 10-year-old Amari Legarza, was shed in order to save Maya Cirilla. The blood of the most precious person of all time, Jesus Christ the Lord, was shed in order to save you. By His blood, we are saved from wrath through Him. Romans chapter 5, verse 9, covered by the blood of Jesus. Christians, lead LGBTQ people to Jesus Christ, because gay or straight, trans or cis, He is the only hope that any of us really has. But you know what keeps us Christians from reaching out to LGBTQ people and dealing with the sexual sin in their lives? The sexual sin in our own lives, isn't it? All those things that you did with guys after football games, all the things you did with girls in your car and in your own bedroom before mom got home from work, all the different people that you shacked up with over the years, all the sex that you had with people that didn't mean a thing to you, all the babies you made with people you never married. You got pregnant before you and your husband got married, and even though you've got a good marriage now, the devil never lets you forget. He reminds you all the time, you didn't do it right. The porn that you watch and the masturbating that you do when you're by yourself, The lust that constantly generates those homemade porn movies in your head every time you look at a guy or a girl, that time you cheated on your wife when she was pregnant, still doesn't know about it. All those affairs you had on your husband when you were supposedly on work trips. There are people sitting in this church right now, Christians, you even did some gay stuff, thinking for a time that you were bi. And even though you have asked God for forgiveness a million times, the devil just keeps throwing it up at you again and again and again and beating you over the head with it. You're not a Christian. How can you call yourself a Christian? You've done things that unbelievers won't even do. God doesn't love you. God hates you. God's never going to forgive you for that. You're a skank. You're a hoe. You're a slut. He is the accuser of the brothers and the sisters. And even though you know exactly what forgiveness is, the guilt is still there, and the shame is still there, and the regret is still there. And the devil says, how in the world can you reach out and help somebody else? You've got that sin in your own life. Kevin, how in the world can I reach out to LGBTQ people? I've got too much junk in my own trunk. Deep down inside, you do not believe that God has really forgiven you or accepted you. Listen to me. You have got to stop looking at your sin like the devil does, and you've got to start looking at your sin like God does. I want everybody in this church right now to stand up right where you're at. Not one of us, not one of us in this room doesn't have some kind of sexual sin in our life. And notice, I'm standing up too. Every single one of us, because God wants you to know something today. Notice what Jesus says to this woman. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. And notice the order, because it's exactly the opposite of what we would say. We would say, go and sin no more. Then I will not condemn you. But Jesus says, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Acceptance comes before change, because Jesus knows that woman is never going to be able to change her life until she first of all knows that she's accepted and forgiven by Him. And exactly the same thing is true for you. God does not want you to live in regret for one single second of any sin that you have ever committed. And you don't have to. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, He didn't say, go fix yourself. He said, it is finished. Which means absolutely everything that's necessary for your sin to be totally forgiven and forgotten was already done by Jesus Christ on the cross. You do not sin in order to become His. You do not sin because you already are His. Hello? You do not sin in order to be forgiven and accepted by God. You do not sin because you're already forgiven and accepted by God. Is this thing on? When God looks at you, He does not see your sin. When God looks at you, He only sees the sacrifice that was made for your sin, which is Jesus Christ. So when God looks at you, He looks at His own perfect righteousness, the sinlessness of Jesus Christ, and you cannot get any more sinless than that. So it's not God who's reminding you of your sin over and over again. That's the devil doing that to you. So whenever the devil reminds you of your past, remind the devil of his future. You're not looking back because you ain't going that way. Who shall bring any accusation against those that God has chosen? Nobody. If God is for you, nobody can be against you. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of sin and death has set you free from the law of the spirit of death. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. And He will remember your sin no more. And if God forgets your sin, you can forget it too. Neither does He condemn you. Now go and sin no more. And lead LGBTQ people into the same forgiveness and the same freedom that you've received yourself. Lord, I pray over everyone standing up here today. I pray over me standing over here today. Every single one of us has got junk in our trunk. Every single one of us has sexual sin in our lives, one extent or the other. We just thank You for the cleansing power of Jesus Christ. We just thank You, Lord, that that blood sets us free. And I pray for somebody here who is still struggling with this, who does not believe that You have actually forgiven them. Lord, that You would just convince them of that today. They would let that go. Realize that is not from You. That is from the devil, trying to keep them from ministry. Lord, I just thank You for Your cleansing flow, and I pray You would just fit us to be the people in these last days, especially to the LGBT community, balancing grace and truth like You called us to do. All these things we ask in Your name, and thank You. Amen.